But before I go so far, I want my wife to come and say hi to you. I thank God for my wife. I know I'm a blessed man. In 22 years, I've been blessed. My dear wife, Rebecca.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Say more than that. Hallelujah. That's awesome, yeah? Praise God. I'm so excited to be here. I am so, so excited. And I just can't wait to enjoy the bread of life. I cannot wait to have the Lord fill my cup. I have lifted my cup up and I've told the Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench my thirsting soul. Oh, bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. Here I am. Fill my cup. And in Kikuyu, I would say, Ihurie kikobege yakwa mwathani, nidakunegera gikobe, kihurie, kihurie fiu. We mugate wa muoyo Jesu, honia, honia, niwutika nire na dikahote. And kikamba, what do I say in kamba? Do I have a kamba? Do I have a luo? I know I have a luo.
Right here.
It's funny. Fill my cup. Anya sai modi pong kikombe manago. Mondo kikombe na mondo kikombe na opong. Moloyo kaka nyalo ponge. Ero kamono nyasacha.
Hallelujah. And in Masai. Luya.
Izuriza shikombe shanje.
I lift it up, Lord.
Wehezanga shikombe shanje wizurize.
Amen. Masai, any other tribe? Uganda? Where?
Oh, juza chikopo change. Nchimusiza juza amafuta gomu chikopo change.
Amen. Did I miss any other tongue? Which one? Cucumber. And melon too.
Mbusi siya kikombe cha kwa mwea. Mbusi siya na unenge lelia. Unenge mkate wa.
Amen.
Ina kikale sa inyitwa kikombe Jehova. Kutama wa mwache inyitwa Jehova. Kongoi.
Amen. Which one?
Na rentire gekombe kia na subo sibua onyasai. Geicholie. Guikera tinta kana ende. Geicholio mogati oigoro geicholie.
Praise God. Thank you, honey. Appreciate that. Powerful worship and praise. Amen. It's a reminder that we don't come to be filled by man. We come to be filled by the Lord. Amen? If you come to be filled by man, you'll be disappointed. I can tell you. If you go to us any service and you go to be filled by man, I can guarantee you, you're going to leave disappointed. You may have the best speaker in the house, somebody so eloquent, but if you go there with, you know, I'm going there because I want to hear that person. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. You know, we have gifted people, very talented people. You know, you can find them in many different places. You know, but if that is your intention, I tell you, you'll leave that place disappointed. Because what we can give as people is something very temporal. But when you go to receive from God, amen, you're looking unto Jesus. I tell you, one word from the Lord will change your destiny. Amen. Praise God. So I have purpose in my life that when I come to the house of the Lord, I want to receive from Him. I want to receive from the Lord. And I'm thankful that the Lord knows all our different dialects. Isn't that amazing? You know, hallelujah. I didn't tell my wife to do that. You know, my wife is very spontaneous. She'll do that. She'll put you on the spot, you know, anytime. That's a gifting and a calling that she has. But, you know, thank God that He can hear all our different dialects. You know, no matter which language you are, He can hear you. You know, in the last 7 years, I've known of a different dialect in the military. You know, they have a different dialect in the military, you know. Is there anybody in the military here in the, let's say, United States Air Forces? Okay, we have, please stand up. If you are in the military currently, Amen. Praise God. It's all right. Amen. Maybe your son or your daughter is in the military. Are you here? Okay, please stand up. Praise God. Amen. We have a few. Praise God. Amen. And not just, I know, in the United States military, maybe some in KDF, you know, back at home. Anybody here? Okay, anybody here? You know, there's a different culture and a different, I want to say, not just one dialect, but many of them. For me, I'll tell you, it was a culture shock for me. Because I never grew up thinking that, you know, one day I'm just going to join the military. That was not part of my dream. Totally off course from what I thought. I thought, you know, I came here to United States, like many of us here, going to go to school on an F-1 visa, you know, go through colleges and everything else for myself. I was going through Bible school and seminary training, and I was heading back home. You know, my wife will tell you that we were packing our stuff. You know, we were packing everything. You know, wherever we went, you know, we have this ministry, Outreach to Kenya. We've been doing that for many years, since 1999. And every place we went, it's like, you know, I like that thing right there. I like that, you know. Whatever, it may be books, it may be furniture, whatever it is, you know, let's keep that. Because soon, one of these days, we're going to pack up in a container, and we're going to ship it, and we're going to go back, you know, and continue ministry there. You know, it was never in my mind that one day that the Lord would direct me in the place that I am right now as a military chaplain. But, you know, with the Lord, we always surrender. We say, yes, Lord, right? It doesn't matter where he sends us. We have to be ready. He is a commander-in-chief. Amen. Praise God. You know, we are familiar with commander-in-chief right here in this earth because, you know, the president of the United States, you know, Donald Trump, is the commander-in-chief in this nation, right? Right? So he's overall, you know, back in Kenya, I would say, President Uhuru Kenyatta is commander-in-chief back in Kenya. But again, when the Lord says we do something, he's the Lord, commander-in-chief, so we obey. You know, we may not like it because I struggled with it. I'll tell you, Brother Lucas, I struggled with that because I didn't grow up thinking that way. And so when the doors to go back to Kenya closed and the door was over, I was at the Veterans Affairs Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky. And my supervisor, clinical pastoral education, you know, he is a retired army chaplain, 25 years. He said, Patrick, I see something in you. Would you be interested in joining the U.S. military? You know, I was kind of surprised anyway when he told me that. Kind of, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I didn't want to be rude or anything else. But so I said, you know, I've not really thought about it that much. But at that particular time, it so happened, I was looking for different opportunities in my career because the doors that I've been trying to think of were closing. And I was like, Lord, I'm open. So I said, you know, I haven't thought about that really much. I've seen some jobs advertised, but I don't think I qualify. How many know that the Lord does not call the qualified? He qualifies the called. Amen? Amen. Maybe that's a word for somebody who is here. He's saying, I'm all qualified. The Lord specializes in calling the unqualified. Hallelujah. So it's like, yeah, I don't think I'm qualified. I'm not a citizen. I don't have an endorser. You know, a chaplain has to have an endorser. You know, a denominational endorser. And I think I'm a bit too old. At that time, I was about 40 years old, you know. And I was thinking, you know, I don't think it can work. He told me, basically, well, pray about it. And, of course, I'll do that. I'll talk to my wife because even if I say yes, my wife has to come along with me, right? So that's what happens with marriage life. At least that's how it's supposed to be, right? maybe there's some places it works differently, but in the marriage life, you know, you consult the first lady. You know, it's like, hey, this is what I'm praying and believing, but what do you think? You know, if she says, no, I don't think so, not at all, of course, I say, okay, I can't do it right now, maybe later. But anyway, one thing led to another, and the door became open in a way that I knew this was the Lord. You know, I waited like for a whole year to discern the Lord's calling in that particular direction. You know, finally, when I realized I was going into it, I basically told, well, you need to start sending the applications and everything else, pushing it forward. At that time, I just became a citizen. At that time, you know, I remember the age was not an issue. They had raised the age limit. And so I sent my application forward, and one thing led to another, and I was basically approved. You know, I was approved. So the next thing was to go to boot camp. You know, I know we have a military person here. You know, we are going to boot camp. You know, what is that? You know, I said, what is that? You know, I don't know, boot camp? Yeah, you know, it's like, you better start doing those running and push-ups and sit-ups and everything else. I was like, my goodness, what am I getting myself into? You know, at that time, actually, I'd already raised my hand. And I said, yes, I'm going in, so there's no turning back. You know, if you raise your hand and do that, you know, unless it's a really good reason, you could end up in jail. You know, that's how serious it is. But anyway, so here I am. I didn't even, I tried a little bit. I used to run in Kenya a little bit, playing soccer, you know, football. Going to choose a football. I was doing that, but not like running just to for the sake of running. So I had to start doing that, huh? And trying to practice this push-up and everything else. Anyway, long story short, when I got there, my uniform was totally out of order. Because I tried to get people to advise me how to put my uniform on and everything else. But when I got there, in that particular place, it was like a room like this, maybe a room like this, full of people. You know, right in the morning, we just report. All I could hear is people yelling and shouting, you know? And my uniform was in a mess, so somebody was ripping this and ripping that and telling us to get down and do push-ups. I thought I was in hell, my brother. I thought, my goodness, what did I do to deserve this? I was like, God, I don't know. I think this is the wrong person to go for this job, you know. And I'm telling you, it was a culture shock in that particular way. You know, it was not like being in these four walls. All we can talk about, praise the Lord, you know, glory to God and worship and everything else. Yes, this is a chaplaincy, but they were trying to teach us what it means to be in the military. So they had to make us assimilate and go in and find out. And I remember the language was different. I was wondering, why are all these people cussing all the time? Well, you know, what is this cussing? You know, why can they just speak, you know, in a decent way and tell you instructions, you know, in a gentleman way? But no, it's a different way. It's a different thing out there, you know. But again, a culture shock, a different dialect. But I thank God that the Lord knows every dialect. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no way he has not gone. He understands it. I may not understand it. You may not understand it. But he understands it. And so today, I believe the Lord has a word for each and every one of us. Amen. When Patricia invited us to this meeting, it's mentioned that the theme of this year is flourishing, the year of flourishing. The year of flourishing. Amen. I mean, I was just looking up flourishing in the dictionary. That's a big word. It's a word that basically means beyond and above. You know, it's not just a little bit, but flourishing. And the year of flourishing means we are flourishing beyond and above measure. You know, like our cup is running over. You know, and I believe that indeed the Lord desires to do the same in our fellowship today. The year of fellowship, of flourishing. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. We're going to be looking at a text today that relates to this aspect. And it's going to be in the book of Luke chapter 7. I know we are short of, we know we don't have all night to be here, so I want to be respectable to your time. And but I want to get right into the word the Lord has put in my heart for each of us here today. We're going to go into the book of Luke chapter 7. At the very top of the page, it says the faith of the centurion. The faith of the centurion. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built a synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, Don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word. Somebody say, say the word. And my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that, Lord, even as I am here right now in this few minutes, that God, you use me as a vessel to speak exactly what you want your people to hear. That at the end of the day, you may receive glory, and that we may not only be just hearers of your words, but doers of the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If I would title this message, I would say, The Faith of the Centurion, an example of flourishing in faith in 2017 and beyond. Faith of the Centurion, an example of flourishing in faith in 2017 and beyond. As you look at this particular text in the book of Luke, I find certain aspects that I want to bring to your attention. The first one is, we find an unlikely person. An unlikely person. In verse 1, we read that when Jesus had finished saying all these things to the people who were listening to him, he entered Capernaum. And there, a centurion servant who his master valued highly was sick and about to die. An unlikely person. There was a Roman centurion. And of course, the servant was the one who was sick. But he was a Gentile, meaning he was not amongst what you may call the people of God. An unlikely person. We also see that there was an unlikely vocation. We find that, again, this was a Roman, no, not just a Roman centurion. And by centurion, I mean he was a soldier. He was a Gentile, and then he was a soldier. And thirdly, we find there was an unlikely request. This Roman centurion's request was for his servant's healing from Jesus the Christ. He could have gone anywhere else, but he came to Jesus, being a Roman centurion soldier. He was requesting for his servant's healing. And fourthly, we find that there was an unlikely response. Jesus said something that I believe you may not find in many places in the scripture. In verse 9, he says, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. An unlikely response. You know, as we look in the very first verse, you notice that the context of the place that this took place was in Capernaum. If you do a research on Capernaum, you'll find some things said about it. But there was miracles, signs, and wonders done in Capernaum. John 4:46 and following, there's the healing of a son of a royal official. In Mark 1:31, we find that Simon Peter's mother-in-law was healed. In Matthew 9:1, we find healing of a paralytic. You look in Mark 1:23, we find that this unclean spirit being cast out by Jesus. So there's a lot of things taking place. Now, look at that, and then fast forward to another scripture. In Matthew 11 and 20, it says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Verse 23, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you were had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. I repeat, and you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. So with that backdrop, we come back to a Roman centurion. Again, this is a place, I believe, that a lot was done by Jesus the Christ. But it seems that the response was contrary to what you would expect to a place where they've been experiencing miracles, signs, and wonders being done daily. But then we find an example of the Roman centurion's request and the healing of the servant. First of all, before I go deep into that, I think many of you are familiar with who a centurion was. Roman soldier. As of course we know, centurion comes from century, about 100 soldiers. I think this is like what we may call companies. You know, like we have company commanders. You know, I'm part of a battalion, a warrior transition battalion right here at Fort Belvoir. And in that company, you know, it could be 200 soldiers. But there's a company commander. So centurions had authority over at least 100 soldiers. They led from the front. They led and inspired their men by their example. Research and history says that the centurions were the backbone of the Roman army. These were tough people. The centurions were legionaries. And they were clearly noticed because they wore a special helmet. They were promoted for their dedication and courage. A legion had about 1,000 soldiers. In each century, there was 100 men. And then you multiply that by the number of legions, who are in the legions. So 60 centuries would be like a legion. So 60 times 100 would be a whole legion. But again, the reason they are their backbone is that because they are there at the very forefront of this military order. And so again, when we look at the life of this particular centurion, we may say that he was a respectable man. A respectable man in the society. Some key insight from the context we find in verse 2 again, a centurion servant whom his master valued highly was sick and about to die. This was a sick man. The centurion was not asking for his own request. He was asking on behalf of his servant. Again, going beyond himself, he was asking a request on behalf of his own servant. How did the centurion know about Jesus? From the verse 3, we can find that in this particular context, we find that the centurion heard of Jesus' testimony because the news spread abroad. So much so, from the context that I gave you some of the scriptures, that he sent some elders of the Jews to him. You know, for me, being in the military, I kind of understand this because he wanted to follow the protocol. You know, he was so respectable of that because in the military, you cannot just jump from one level all the way to the very top. And because this centurion recognized Jesus to be at the very top, he was like, you know, I need to get some people who can go in my stead. It's interesting, myself, again, being in the military as a chaplain, this is one of the only position whereby, as a chaplain, you can speak with a private at the same time speak with a general. So it's one of those only few positions where, you know, you can cross all of the above, and it's not criticized as other places. You don't get in trouble as in other places. But this man wanted to follow the protocol. So he sent some elders of the Jews to him. He did not assume to go directly to Jesus, asking to come heal his servant. It's interesting, as you look at this, you find that this man, as you observe this, you know, he knew that he had authority. Okay? Because in the scripture that you just read prior, when he's speaking to his men, he says, "For I myself am a man and an authority with soldiers, and I tell this one, go, and he goes. Kwenda pale, anaenda. Kuja hapa, anakuja hapa. Sindio? Because he had a particular authority. Do this, anafanya hivyo. And those who are, of course, who are familiar with this, you know that one of the worst crimes being in the military context is if you're told by the leadership to do a certain thing, the commander orders you to do a certain thing, you don't say, let me think about it. I'll come back later to you. No, it is going to be trouble. When you're given orders and told to go from point A to point B, you do as you're told. So this man understood in the physical realm, this is the case. You know, and again, being in this particular culture, I know that we, even in training, before we even deployed, that is how we are trained. One of the worst crimes would be for you to disobey the orders of the person who is in charge of you. Because if you disobey right here in this particular place, when you are out in harm's way and you are told to go through this wall, you cannot say, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this. I changed my mind. No, because it can be a danger for you and it can be a danger for those who are with you also. So again, this man had observed this and he had seen that it is a particular order, and he realized that Jesus was on top of that particular order in the spiritual realm. When they came to Jesus, verse 4, it says, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this. Because, look at verse 5. He loves his nation. And he has built as a synagogue. Number one, he was a patriotic man. He has proven it by the sacrifice that he has made in our armed forces. See, I've seen quite a few patriotic people in just by serving in the military context. Not just anybody signs up. I know there's different reasons for signing up. Just like as I found out talking to soldiers coming in. Many of them sign up. Of course, they want an education. They want an income. But to sign, it could mean that you could give your life, literally. When you're going, you have to make sure your papers are clear because you may not come back alive. Okay? And so these centurions, they were leading from the front. So this man was recognized, as of course, properly recognized in this country. And even in Kenya, I'm sure that those who serve are recognized for that because of sacrifices they made. So this man was patriotic. He had a proven record. Secondly, not only was he patriotic, but he was somebody who respected God. He was a godly man. And he had done that because he had built them a synagogue. He had built them a synagogue. See, one thing I like about this man is not only was he patriotic, but he's somebody who respected God. You know, I've seen a lot of men and women who serve, but I'll tell you, not many of them are God-fearing. I've seen sometimes commanders who can even curse God, you know, just for no apparent reason. You know, just say all kind of words. And maybe not even respectable, even to the chaplains. Oh, the chaplain is here. He may even curse God more. You know, I mean, there are people like that. As a chaplain, we are usually consulted by a commander when they're going to make various decisions, key decisions. I've seen commanders who will not make decisions without saying, "Chaplain, come, please pray with me." You know, I have very good examples of that. You know, chaplain, every week I want you to come to my office and I want us to pray. Or chaplain, I'm thinking of doing this particular thing, but I just need some, someone to support me in prayer. Chaplain, you know, let's go to lunch once a week and do that. I've seen that. But there may be some who don't even want to see you around. They don't have a minute for you. It's like, no, I don't have time for that religious stuff. I can do it because I'm strong. And these centurions, I can tell you, they're strong people, probably muscular, probably people who have gone in the front, you know. But this particular one was different. He was a godly man. And verse 6 says, so Jesus went with them. And Jesus went with them. You know, Jesus could have said, I am not going. Remember, this is an unlikely vocation, a soldier. I'm not going. Fast forward. Soldiers will be all over the scriptures, right? Even towards the death of Jesus on the cross. Some of them will be trying to get his clothes, right? And so there are some places in scripture that you may think these soldiers are probably not the best people. But Jesus did not look beyond that. And so he went with them. He approved of this request. He could have rejected the request because he and his disciples would suffer at the hand of soldiers, but he chose to go with them instead. Amen. Praise the Lord. In verse 6b also we see that concerning the centurion faith, he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. A sign of humility. Uzijisumbue bwana. You know, a humble man. He's like, Lord, you know, this is beyond me. Don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. A sign of humility and respect for Jesus Christ. It's almost like, you know, in the earthly realm, you know, in this earthly realm, if the commander-in-chief decides, yeah, he's going to come and dine with you, you know, and you think, you know, he's too far away for you to be able to shake the general's hand, the commander-in-chief, that is like, it never happens. So you can imagine how you'd conduct yourself. But this centurion had some insight. It's like, you know, this man, he's not just man. He's God, right? He's some divinity aspect of it. He's beyond that, you know. And I do not deserve to have him come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. Now we look back and we think, okay, this man was sending some people as a protocol to ask Jesus to come. Why did he do this? You know, that's kind of disrespectful. You know, why didn't he just go? Just like other people who had gone. But now, as looking at the context of the scriptures, it explains itself. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. And I've seen this. I'll tell you, I've seen as a chaplain among soldiers, as I circulate and go around, and I try to invite the soldiers to come in to study in the Bible study or to come to the services. Some of them will even avoid talking to me because I have a big cross on my kofia. You know, if you see me in my uniform, I have a big cross on my kofia and a big cross right here. So if I see you, you know, coming to you, it's like, you know, you're going to turn the other way. You know, and I'm like, hey, come on, hey, Sergeant, what's going on? Don't run away. But there's some of them who may not even come to this. And when I ask them, you know, why can't you come? It's like, Chaplain, you don't know. I've done some bad things. You know, I feel like if I come to the church, the roof is going to fall. You know, I'm like, I don't deserve. I don't want to go. I feel too dirty. Done some things. So there's an aspect of humility based on the human a human experience of a soldier that sometimes they feel like they don't deserve for God to come near them. Okay? And so as a chaplain, I have to be conscious of that as I go amongst them because they are ordinary men and ordinary women who have given themselves to the service of their nation. And they need our prayer and support in every way. All right? It may not be like in church, and they may be showing other signs which don't seem to be very pretty and acceptable. But when I sit with them one-on-one, and I see them when they're broken, I even have some time in my office, I have a tissue box right there. Because there's one place that they are allowed to show emotion is when they're seeing the chaplain. I mean, because there's a level of confidentiality there that you have. They call it total confidentiality. Everywhere else, we are strong. All right? We exhibit that strength and we go forward. But when somebody is going through that emotional breakdown, or maybe they feel like maybe the first time to go away from mom and dad, maybe some young privates who just signed up and they're somewhere out there, and they see, my goodness, I could die in this particular place. And they're like, I didn't think I'm that strong. The commander may recommend them to come and go see the chaplain. And some of them will say, no, I don't want to see the chaplain. But some of them will say, yes, I'll go. And when I sit with them and they talk to me, I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. What you're feeling, it's okay. For right now. And the commander, he says, chaplain, you're my combat chaplain. Make sure the soldier comes back, amen? Strong and ready to go in the battlefield. You know, because again, my role in that particular place is as I deal with these humble people, as I serve with them, you know, is to minister to them, of course. I'm right there, of course. I'm a Christian chaplain, and I'm going to give the word. So, you know, some people ask, do you give them the word? Do you tell them about Jesus Christ? You know, one thing, as I mentioned in the men's fellowship, we don't proselyte. We can't go and say, hey, you need to accept the Lord right now and this moment. You know, you are a Muslim or you are this particular legion that you know, I'm here so that you can be converted. You know, we respect from where they come from, but at the same time, we are ready. Just in case somebody is seeking, or maybe there's a Christian person who is going into the battlefield and all of a sudden they feel like they have rejected God and that they need to come back. So again, there is a place and a role that we have in meeting these people when they come, when they are broken, when they're in a place where they need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The centurion said, that is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. He sent some elders. One of the commentaries says, he sent some elders of the Jews to Christ to represent the case and solicit for him, thinking that a greater piece of respect to Christ than if he had come himself, because he was an uncircumcised Gentile whom he thought Christ, being a prophet, would not care for conversing with. For that reason, he sent Jews whom he acknowledged to be favorites of heaven, and not ordinary Jews neither, but elders of the Jews, persons in authority. The dignity of the messengers might give him honor to him whom honor to him whom they were sent. Verse 7 says, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. Centurion said, say the word. You don't have to come to my house, but say the word. Verse 7b, and my servant will be healed. Interesting. Because when we go back in Genesis chapter 1, we find in that particular context of scripture, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And if you continue reading, God said, and it came into being. So this man, the centurion, was saying, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And this same word said, let there be light, and there was light. Praise the Lord. In verse 8, we also see, in the military version of this, he says, for I myself am a man, again, under authority. And again, he speaks word and it comes into being. So it's a parallel to the spiritual aspect. God speaks and it comes into being, right? This man is saying in his own order, because I do this in the human order, therefore God, Jesus Christ, in the spiritual order, can do the very same thing to my servant, and my servant will be whole. And that no wonder Jesus responds to the centurion understanding of his faith when he heard this was, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Amazing. Praise the Lord. This is an outsider looking in. And he can kind of see Jesus, the role of Jesus. He's an outsider looking in. And he can kind of see Jesus' role and his authority and power is great enough such that he doesn't even have to be present. All he has to do is speak the word and it comes into being. And the people who are the people of God, the Jewish people, the elders and everybody else, had not gotten this insight. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. When the people outside, somebody from the outside can see this, and we that are in the church do not see it, there is a problem. Amen. Hallelujah. We can. The Lord today would have us to flourish in faith in 2017 and beyond by believing that he is the one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and how he has got power. Somebody say power. Beyond what we can think and imagine. Glory to God. Jesus was amazed. Because somebody who is an outsider, a Gentile, and circumcised, can see something going on and say, just say the word. What about us today? I think I'm speaking to the choir here because many of us have come from the homeland, right? We have come from the motherland. We are here today. The way we came here, it was by faith. Amen? God spoke it into being in our lives, and therefore we are here. Brother Lucas, I tell you, years ago, before I came here, 20-something years ago, I was believing this same God back in Kenya, all right? And everything would say that I would not make it into the United States of America. I didn't have the rich parents. I didn't have everything that I was supposed to have to go into that American embassy. But I had faith. Amen? And I know that I'm speaking to people here who have come from far places. God took you, brought you from that particular place and placed you here. And every year, he has been providing for you every day. Every month, he takes care of you. Some of you came here with no degree. God has given you multiple degrees. Many of you came here without any jobs. God has blessed you with multiple jobs. He has placed you in places so that you can be an influence for his kingdom. Amen. And so as we read this, we know that this word is from us. It's for us too. Praise the name of the Lord. An year of flourishing in faith requires us to have a centurion-like understanding of faith. As I preach and as I come towards the end of the message, I feel like there are people here who are in a particular place in our life that we just need the word of the Lord. Amen. Spoken over our lives. A place where we can believe in our situation, where we may be, that God is able, no matter how bad things may look. Amen. And we can tell the Lord, Lord, just say the word in our life today. Amen. Just say the word, because we believe. We are people who have hope every day. We don't walk like cowards. We don't walk like the earth is falling apart. We don't walk like we are doomed people. No, we believe in this same Jesus. Amen. The same yesterday, the same today, and forevermore. The same God who was there with you in the very beginning in Kenya. The same God who has taken you to this particular place right now. And the same God who is going to be with you until he comes again. Amen. No matter how your situation is, I have got good news for you. That this same Jesus is with us today. And no matter our situation, God is able. We find the resolution in the healing of the centurion's servant. Verse 10 says, then the man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. It happened. The man who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. God is able, my friends. He is more than able. He can do it. You know, a lot of times, you may not even be able to come to the altar, even though when the invitation is given, I would request you to come. You know, the, most of the time, the Lord is going to touch us, even as we worship and praise Him. Amen. As we give Him the glory, the Lord can touch and minister to each of our situations. Scripture says in Hebrews 11, 1 to 2, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Jesus was amazed by the centurion's faith. I think when Jesus looks down among us here, He can look at people and say, wow, that one, they have faith. Amen? Not in anything else, but they have faith in Me. Jesus was amazed. And the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. My brothers and my sister, where is your faith? Amen? Because the object of your faith is very important. In this particular case, the centurion had faith in Jesus. Even though he was not part of the inner circle, he had that faith that Jesus can make my servant well. Today, where is your faith? Sometimes I think we can be so much in America that we forget where our faith is. Amen. The same God who gave you that particular visa, the same God who has provided for your needs day in and day out, every day of the year until 2017, February, is it the 19th? The same God who has done it for you, He will do it for you tomorrow and every day of the year. Amen. In 2017, when everybody else is getting nervous and anxious, we can say our faith is in the Lord God Almighty who made the heavens and the earth. Glory to God. And when God looks at KCFA, Baltimore, He can say, I am amazed. There are people who believe in Me. Amen. Just say the word, Lord. Just say the word. Amen. Because You are more than able. There is nothing that You cannot do. Even an outsider whom we may judge, a centurion, somebody wearing the uniform, somebody who is a Gentile, an uncircumcised person. All right? If somebody like that can capture the attention of Jesus, what about you today in the Baltimore chapter? Amen. There was one centurion in this particular. In fact, it seems like a very shameful thing. If I am an elder among the Jewish people, amongst the people of God, and Jesus is being captivated by somebody who seems to be outside. Maybe some people may say, you know, that's a centurion, you know. I don't know. I don't think he's have a part in the kingdom of God. You know, that person is so-and-so. And I'm telling you, in this day and this century, we may rule out some people and say, I don't think so. And sometimes we may miss our ministry because we think, I don't think so. I think my ministry and my mission is among people who look like me, who dress like me, who talk like me, who act like me, who have been where I have been. But I'm telling you, in 2017, Baltimore chapter, today, the Lord wants to take you to the least expected places, to the most unlikely persons. Amen. To the most unlikely vocations. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a message for somebody who can be open. Hallelujah. Because I know I struggle with this myself, but I can tell you I've seen men and women of faith in uniform. Amen. I've seen people, I'm like, wow, that is faith. That is faith. You know, as we go forth into a place where everybody is nervous and getting worried because things are going to happen, that's when you know true men. Amen. That's when you know true men. You know, some will take a cigarette and smoke that cigarette to calm the nerves. Some will hide very quickly under the bed. Some may even cry. You don't know. But I'll tell you, there may be some men and women who are men of God. Amen. Who says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hallelujah. That the Lord God Almighty, the maker of the heaven and earth, is my provider. Amen. Hallelujah. That He is my security and my shelter. I shall fear no evil. My help does not come from the mountains. It comes from the God who made the mountains. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Everybody say all. Authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all everything that I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. We have a mission, amen? We have a mission. In the military, we know we have a mission when we go out. We don't go out without a mission. And we don't come back until the mission is accomplished. It may cost lives. Yes, that's part of it. But we don't go forth without a particular mission. We, the people of God, have been given a mission. We have been commissioned, amen, to go into all the world. Did you know that God did not send you into America just to have a good life? Just to tell people back at home, you know what? I'm having a good life. To send them a picture and tell them, I'm driving good. I'm living the dream. I'm doing wonders in Kenya. I'm doing this and that. Yes, as you seek God and his kingdom, everything else can be added unto you. But that's not the main reason that God sent us to America. Amen. He sent us as his messengers. He sent us as his ambassadors. Wherever we may be, we need to be courageous to speak the testimony of our Lord and say, this same God who spoke a word into my life and changed me is living today in me. And he can do the same thing for you. Amen. And for many, many more. My friends, we are living in the end days. At least in the eyes of God. He knows the time is limited. And therefore, he's calling people. The question is, how many of us are answering? Are we too sophisticated? Are we too educated? Are we too rich that we're not willing to testify about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? May the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Were it not for Jesus, I will be nothing. I have to remember that every place I go. Amen. And introduce people to Jesus. When I went in, I did not realize, as we were shipped out to go to a place called Iraq, I didn't realize I was there. But lo and behold, even in that particular place, I found Kenyan people as security guards. I found Ugandan people speaking Swahili. Bwana, tunazungumza Kiswahili. You know? And then in the same particular place, they had a Swahili church. And my supervising chaplain said, Chaplain Kehio, you're going to be the pastor of that, you know, because you can speak the, you know, it's like, okay, yes, sir, I'll go and do it. Yes, sir. And you know, we had a great time. Whenever they came to the service, I was the translator of English to Swahili so they could understand. We're jumping and singing songs in Swahili. They were jumping with us. They didn't understand, but I explained it to them. Very soon, we had quite a few of them baptized. You know, we made a makeshift baptismal. And as many as want to be baptized were baptized in that place in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God is more than able, and he has commissioned you for such a time as this. Do not forget, when we go out, one of the things I like about being in the military is people realize, you know, their time is limited. That I may go and not come back. And people who are not even spoken to me at all will come to me and confide, hey, chaplain, you know, I need some time with you. I need to make peace. I need to make peace. I'm like, that's okay. You come here, you know, what's troubling you? And we can talk because they're inviting that. And we can pray with them. And they can be at peace before they go out. Amen. In Matthew 10:1, it says, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and sicknesses. And we can go on and on, speaking about different verses and scriptures that the Lord is commissioning us to. But please let us stand together.